Good morning. Hey, brother. All right, we'll start with our homework from last week. I'm going to get it back here. So the last two lessons, we're going to go into our third lesson. In the last two lessons, we talked about possibly leaving a gospel tract at a dental office or a doctor's office, something practical that we could apply what we've been learning. We're trying to emphasize something to do with getting the gospel to the lost world. And so as we emphasize that, we hope to reap a result. And so we were talking about that. And we're going to go to lesson three here in a little bit. But before we get there, and as I get settled here, we can give some testimony. Brother Kelly, there's Mike here, if you could help me. Anybody want to give a quick testimony? And we're going to keep the testimony related to what we're talking about, okay? And that is these homeworks. A few people came to me after last Sunday, and they said they already list five names that they want to see get saved. Now, it might not be them necessarily be the one to witness to them, but those are people in their mind they want to see get saved. Anybody else that kind of either in memory or in a prayer list somewhere, or even in, wrote it down in a list of some sort. Anybody, just for a lift them hand, I'm not going to ask you to say anything, Brother Doug. Anybody else? Brother Kyle. I believe Brother Mike said something to me last week. Anybody else? Miss Lindsay? Anybody else that kind of did that? Okay, great. Appreciate that. Okay, let's move on. Now, who kind of have it in memory or they did before, write out their testimony in a short way, maybe the longest, maybe a paragraph, and then they started to memorize it, rehearsing it to themselves, because we're going to use it later. Okay? Anybody did that? Anybody done that before? Brother Kelly did that? Elizabeth did that? Miss Lindsay had done that? Yes. Wow. Let's give her a mic, because she's got something that was pretty important there. Let's give her a mic, Brother Kelly, and we'll listen to her. If you want to say something, let me know, and Brother Kelly, the charming Brother Kelly, is going to bring you a mic. So that everybody that's listening to us on the online can hear you.
Just writing out your testimony, like what happened that day, and I realized that basically I had been up in the balcony with the rest of the almost teens and clowning around, and when my cousins got up to go forward for whatever it was we were going forward for, I followed them down, and we were just candidates for baptism. And wow. 2 weeks later, we got baptized. But there was really no salvation in it. And for years, I was using that as my salvation. And a preacher preached at a tent meeting about witches and warlocks in the church, about rebellion. And I realized that outwardly, I was probably okay, but inside I had so much rebellion. And so at 4:30 in the morning after that, I got on my knees and prayed and asked God to save me.
Amen. So maybe God will use you writing your testimony, and as you've been hearing preaching about it, you might put some question in your mind, am I really saved? And it's not bad, okay? That's not a bad thing. All right? The main thing is we need to get saved. And in our church here, we have this mindset, and I've seen it. We are not going to embarrass you, all right? And we're not going to make you feel bad because we thought you've been saved for so long and now you just got saved. What we do here is we will rejoice because the main thing is this. You get it right. You get saved. That's the main thing here, okay? When I got saved at 12 years of age, there was some doubt in my mind until I was about 14 years old, until there were some scriptures that was brought to me, either through preaching or as I was reading it, and God settled it for me. There was nothing that I did to get saved, so there's nothing I can do to lose it. Because God says in Ephesians, He keeps us saved. He saves us, He keeps us saved. And then He will present us to the Father someday as His bride. And so those are verses for me personally that God settled in my mind. It doesn't matter what I do now because I made a conscious decision when I was 12 to ask Him to save me. It was no longer in my hands to keep me saved because it was never in my hands to save me in the first place. and it's never in my hand to keep me saved. He saves me, and he keeps me saved. So maybe God will convict yourself as you write it down, and maybe you can come to one of us, and we'll share it to you, and not to embarrass you, but to rejoice in that you finding who Jesus really is. All right? So that's great. Anybody else maybe wrote their testimony in the form, or you know it in your mind? All right? When you just raise your hand really quick, I'm not going to have you talk, Brother Ken. Okay? Move on to the next one, and that is if you're in an area where you're waiting, like a dental office or maybe in a car shop, if you're getting your car fixed, or anything where you notice that they leave magazines and they leave pieces of literature for people to read. And my challenge, and the challenge we have on our lesson, was to leave a tract. Leave a tract there. Anybody did that? Anybody was in it? Okay, Brother Doug, Sister Lindsay. All right, anybody else? Okay, Brother Mike, Brother Ken. You want to say something? Okay, Brother Ken's going to say something. So let's give him a mic.
I just wanted to say that, you know, tracts are very important. We might not think so. The tract is out there, God's word out there. He can do something with it. I you might have heard this before, but my son John, somebody came to the center road one time when we were there, and it was a woman that was in a bar that was very depressed, and she said she was in the bathroom, and she looked down on the floor, and there was a tract, and she picked it up, and she read it, and she got saved.
Wow.
So those tracts can go anywhere,
yeah,
and they'll speak to anybody at any time.
Amen. Speaking of tracts, I know personally three people got saved by a gospel tract. One in Texas, one used to go to our church, he's going to Lighthouse now, and then one in the Philippines that goes to North Cebu Baptist Church. It was all tracts that they got saved. Somebody gave it to them, either somebody was handed it to, somebody brought it to where they were living and left it somewhere, but God used the gospel tract. Okay? It's never wrong to have a gospel tract. In fact, in our lesson today, we're going to make a habit of us having gospel tracts with us anywhere, everywhere we go. Okay? And that's going to be our lesson. So I'm going to jump board now. We got a couple more challenges, weekly focus, we're going to focus on. I love it. I love it. You see all these different people participating. And if you're shy, you don't want to say anything in front of the class, come to me later. Just bump me somewhere and say, hey, Pastor Chris, I was doing this. Okay, and I'll say something for you. Okay? I understand sometimes we're not all comfortable saying it out loud here. I don't particularly. If you notice, testimony times, I hardly say anything. It's just that's the way I am. It's not a bad thing if you don't say anything. But it's nice if we know why, because we get encouraged. We get encouraged when, oh, they do it. Oh, they do it too. And that will encourage us, okay? So pray. There's a lot of sickness going on. I think the entire Tablanta family is not feeling well. So I just found out this morning she tried to come in. Something happened. So pray for them. Others I know have texted me. Pray for the situation that happened in Buffalo. I know everybody knows about Tops. Talk to Mrs. Nelligan. Peter would have been there that day, but he did not show up. Praise the Lord for that protection. So I want to give her that praise. Maybe she'll give a testimony tonight about that if she's willing. But 10 people just utterly changed their life. All right? And you never know. That's our neighborhood. That's our neck of the woods. In fact, Brother Jake and I were visiting somebody that is from Jefferson Road a month ago. So I was on that road. Okay? It's places that we are familiar with. So in the Tops. I mean, Tops never stops. And this is horrendous, okay, that happened. And God loves all people, and this church does, okay? We love everybody here, okay? And so let's pray. It's an 18-year-old boy. Don't know what's going through his head. He needs to be saved. But he needs to get the consequence for what he did. That's horrendous. That's absolutely horrendous. I was reading some report, and they couldn't believe it was happening in our neighborhood, you know. Pray, okay? All right? It's a crazy world out there. I'm telling you, to reach these people, we have to have more patience. When it's darker, we need to have the light shine brighter, okay? Be aware, be careful. Use your guidance from the Lord. All right, let's go on Ephesians chapter number 1. if you mind, Ephesians chapter number 1 in the New Testament. Pray for Pastor Cole and Mrs. Cole. I believe they're heading this way pretty soon. If I'm not mistaken, they might be here Wednesday night. I'm not sure. But pray for them. They're having a good time. He's preaching tonight at one of the churches. In fact, the pastor that pastored him for 2 years before leaving the area, he's going to preach for him tonight, I believe. So pray for that. And pray for those that are sick. And if you can remember Brother Peter, send him a message. Tell him we're praying for you. Okay? He's got people he knows from that store. And so send him a text message. If you don't know the number, I think the pastor said has the number. All right, let's be a family. And let's let him know, I'm glad you weren't there. Something like that. You know, we were thinking of you. Belle and Devin comes to the church. Okay, so this is our family. Okay, so let's, I don't want to make it a big deal. I don't want to scare you. But at the same time, let's be sensitive to that. Okay, and let's reach out. Okay, you don't have to ask the details. Go to the news. You'll find the details there. But be the personal. Say, hey, I'm glad that you're not hurt. Praying for those friends of yours. Okay, think about it that way. Weep with them that weep. Okay, be an empathizer. All right, Ephesians 1, verse 11 to verse number 14. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, aside from soul winning and souls getting saved, did you not get who this God is? Let me read it to you again. If there's things happening in your life, it's bonkers. It's chaotic. It's things that need to be set in order because relationships are broken. Or finances are not there. Or a big news came to you that's very, very bad news. Okay? Anything like that, look at what God says here. He says, he worketh all things. Stop it there. He's working on that problem. You know what? You can rest in your God because he's working for you. You just bought a house or you're looking for a house. You just bought a car, trying to fix it up. Anything what it is, you got a broken relationship, a friend that just starting to come back into your life. You had him before, but there's some chaotic things going on, family situation. Okay. God says he's working all things. He's the one that does the work, okay? He's the one that does the work in any individual Christian's life, in any church, you know? Any problem we have at BBC, any kind of craziness maybe that's happening here in this particular church, you know what? I rest assured God's working it out. God is working it out. He's in the details. He's working it out. He knows how many hairs you have in your head. He knows how many times you cry and he bottles it. He knows your uprising and downsetting. He knows when you get up and go down. You would not think he would know the main things of life. He will be dealing with them. He'll be working on rest. He said, I wish that that person understands. Well, God's working on them to understand you. God is working for you. And look what it says. After the counsel of his own will. We're going to talk about that this morning service. It is important for us to understand the will of God. Generally, as an individual Christian. Corporately as a church, but then personally as a local church. You know, FBBC has a particular will of God for us that's different than Countryside, that's different than Hilltop Baptist Church, that's different even than Brightway Baptist Church. Why do I bring those up? Because those are affiliated to us. There's a different will for us at FBBC. God has something for us at this time that he might not have for those other churches, and so vice versa. And even in your life, there might be something God wants you to do differently than the next person next to you. But there's a general will for all Christian all around the world, all churches, okay? And they're very clear in Scripture. Those are very clear. But as you grow into your Christianity, eventually God's going to tap your shoulder and say, just like I said last week, Miss Lindsay was here, Miss Monique. I said, she had to go to Liberia. It would be wrong for her not to go to Liberia. Would it be wrong for you not to go to Liberia? No, because God did not tell you to go to Liberia. But for her, it would be dead wrong if she did not go, because I know by her testimony and her life, she is to go. You understand? And as we grow in Christianity, we cannot copy each other. Eventually, we're going to have to grow out of that and have a personal walk with God. My wife has a personal walk with God. I have a personal walk with God because she has to follow God in some things that she cannot follow me as her husband because I'm merely human being. Okay? So get into that. Get into that. A lot of times in the church, the pitfall for a lot of Christians is they just follow what the preacher says. That is good. We should follow what the preacher says. But eventually, you're going to grow into maturity, and then what happens? You have to follow what God of the preacher says. Because he's trying to follow God. Okay? Do you think it was Pastor Cole's will for me to go to the Philippines? Have you ever thought to him about that? He'll not talk to you about it. He would rather have me here. But I had to follow God. Did they disobey my preacher? No, I love my preacher. I wouldn't be here today at this time. You understand? I think we fall a lot because we don't know the will of God. Look at this. Things after the counsel of his own will to his purpose. You see, God is working all things together to get his purpose and his will done. If you're a Christian, you're going to have a hard time if you don't surrender to God's will. In soul winning, he's working people out. The Holy Spirit is working on people's hearts all around us. And if God tells you at a particular moment in time in a cashier register, and God says to you at that time, give a gospel tract out to that lady that you're working with you, I better do it. Because I don't know if God was already working in that lady. Maybe the gospel tract is a tool that God's going to say, let's keep working on this woman. Keep working on her. You understand? So we're very, 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 very ready to do what God wants us to do. Because we're part of this team getting lost people saved. Okay? Number 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Who's he talking to? Who's his workers? Those people that have trusted Jesus. Those that are saved. Excuse me. He wants us to be what? Used for his glory. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, after that you believe, you were sealed. And this is the verse I was talking to you about earlier. With the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption and the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Big words, they're saying, hey, we're secured. We enter into the inheritance, and Pastor Cole has been preaching on, don't lose that inheritance. What is the inheritance? There's some things that we have been given to, okay? But we'll lose some of them the way we behave as a Christian. And I don't have time to deal with that, okay? So we're going to talk about this morning the importance of being prepared to share your faith. It has to be sometimes spontaneous because the Holy Spirit works every time, every day, all right? You can't tell the Holy Spirit, oh, I'll give her next week. Okay, when he's working on you that particular time. Because the next week might not come. Okay? There might not be that situation there that God is already prepared and using to get this person to know him. Okay? Session 3 here, our lesson is make it a habit. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. Let me read you some worldly analogy or analysis on habits, okay? Practical, okay? Not carnal, but practical, worldly, earthly things that make sense that we have observed about a habit, okay? For many people, the hardest part about learning to share your faith is just remembering to do it each day. That's why I'm making an emphasis this couple of months and I'm teaching. We'll move on to another thing and I'll come back to this another thing because there's 43 lessons. There's no way we're going to finish it. This is a new habit you have to develop. Okay, expert says that if you commit yourself to doing something every day for 21 days, it will become a habit. I think we kind of did this with memorizing verses. Remember, there's a Sunday school teacher at one point, Brother Chris Raybert. And he introduced to us memorizing verses. We still have those paper, right, Brother Kelly? I saw him. He gave me one. And what he did was he used this principle that every day, we, and he added more to that, But every day, we memorized that verse. And eventually, it became part of our memory. And that is what a habit is. A habit is what? You've done it so much, just like now. My phone, because I sync where I work, and I sync where I go to, where my home is, and where my work is. Guess what? The stupid iPhone. Oh, it's not stupid. I'm stupid, because I'm using it. No, I'm just kidding. But every time I get on the car from Mott Road, which is my home right now, automatically IMAP will pop. And it says, time to go to work, 20 minutes away. And that's here. I get in here in the car, and it'll pop up. IMAP, pop. And it will say, time to go to home, Mott Road, 20 minutes away. Or even the phone is designed by the designer to have some of that, to remember things about our life. Watch out, Google's watching you. Knows what you want, and it'll advertise just the right way. Okay? So anyways, don't want to scare you, but that's the time of day we live. All right? Expert says that if you commit it for 21 days, you'll remember to put a track in your pocket or purse every 21 days. You will have established a powerful new habit. It should become as natural to share the gospel as you brush your teeth. All right, I hope you brush your teeth. I brush it typically when I wake up. I brush it before I go to bed. That's my habit. I don't floss. Why? Never developed the habit. Don't care to. You got problems with cavity? Yes. Where? In between my teeth. Why? Because I don't floss. Okay? You know a little bit about me. You share a little bit about you later. Anyways, there's tracks over there. That's where we keep them right now. Maybe we'll change that to somewhere more accessible. But the right now is over there. So what you do, grab yourself 21 gospel tracks. Take it home with you today. And then tomorrow, start. Put it on a pile where you see it all the time. The table's a good place. Or the you can't put it in the fridge. You have to have a big magnet to put it on the fridge, 21 tracks. But grab one and just stick it in your purse. You don't have to give it away. Just stick it in your purse or stick it somewhere where you can have it. Okay? Put it in your car. All right? Try that, okay? Something practical. Okay, when you have a track in your pocket, you will naturally become more conscious of sharing opportunities as they happen. Guess what? Where's my track in my Honda Pilot? It's right there. It's right there. I can access it. Anytime I'm buying anything from Tim Hortons, I can access my gospel track. Anytime I'm driving over to get gas, I have access to it in the gas station. My wife goes with me most of the time. She has it in her purse. So we go anywhere inside, she's got it on her purse. Okay? Have it accessible, because if you see it, you'll probably be conscious. Oh, I should pass it out. Or, nah. But at least you get that. The gospel tract is being used by the Holy Ghost to say, hey, loser, give one of me and pass it me away. Right? Pass me out. Okay, when you have a tract in your pocket, you will naturally become more conscious and sharing opportunities as they happen. God may have provided excellent sharing opportunities for you in the past, but without a tool to use, you probably weren't ready to even see the chance before you. Have you ever had that? I wish I had a gospel tract. Who had that experience? I wish I had a gospel tract right now. Anybody? A bunch of us. Guess what? How are we going to solve that practically? God is not going to consciously saying, hey, all the guardian angels tonight, go to the FBBC Baptist Church and grab their particular tracts they prefer and grab them and put them in their pocket and then grab their hands and pass it out for them. God doesn't do it that way. Okay? God requires some of us to use the ability we have, and we can be used. So how do we prevent from us? How we share the gospel tract? By having a gospel tract. You know, they used to sell this gospel tract holder. It keeps your gospel tract straight, so it doesn't look like it's funky. And don't put it in a car where the sun is going to bake it. Don't bake a half-baked gospel tract. Okay? Who's going to want a half-baked gospel tract? If you were a blah, 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 percent, saved. What? Who's going to read that? Your presentation is faded. You're an alien. Who's going to do that? Come on, guys. All right, put it somewhere where it's not going to get burnt. Glove box. If you put it in your glove box, keep your glove box clean. Don't put candy wrappers in there. Don't put bubble gum in there and throw whatever is in there. Oh, here's a gospel tract with bubble gum, right? find a way. I don't know what you want to do. Some of us have pockets right here. Okay? Okay, I don't use it there. I don't like it on my pocket. I have it on my car. But I have fallen into the trap of, I wish I had a gospel track. You know? Because I don't have a habit of carrying it on my person. So find a way to carry it on your persons. 21 days. So grab 21 tracks a day after church, Sunday school. Grab it and then try to put it in your purse or whatever you're going to keep. So all you have to do this month is just put it in there. And then we'll talk about it next month, see if you had a habit developed, okay? This is one of God's favorite things. He creates you to accomplish things to His glory. Read Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 11 to 14. When you ask Him to help you to share His glory with others you meet, He will be more than happy to fulfill your request. He will not only give you divine appointments with people whose hearts are prepared to receive His word, but He will give you just the right words to share as you give away the gospel. Don't worry about the words right now. And that's why we're helping you with the testimony. You know, it's your testimony. It's very unique. Learn it. Learn to share it. It's concise, but yet effective. Don't emphasize the sin, but glorify God. Okay? Tell them how God changed you. Okay? You don't have to be in detail with the sin. Kind of, they'll understand it. Well, I was a drunk once. They'll know that. You don't have to tell more than that. And then you can say, well, then God delivered me. I don't drink any alcohol today. Okay, what a powerful, powerful testimony. Just keep asking the Lord to give you divine appointments and you'll see them developed. Okay, now as you're putting that gospel track, as you're learning a habit, for you ladies, you're putting in your purse, 21 things in the purse. All right, you give 21 tracks a day, put it in there. Today, okay. And as you're doing that, pray. Pray that God will use you and you see somebody get saved. Look at Matthew, actually 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 3. We're talking about the importance of being prepared. So we give you a practical way. A gospel tract is a practical way. It's not hard to do with a gospel tract. And in our culture, it's very acceptable idea. They're not going to look at you weird with a gospel tract. Now, some people do something very unique, and they have developed boldness from the Holy Ghost to do this way. And that's, I'm going to use her name. She used to come to our church here, Miss Jody. Not Jody Herzek, but Judy. And she wears a tiara. I'm not going to wear a tiara or a crown, but she does. She just told me something she does. And she goes to the VI, the veteran, you know, the town where the veterans meet. Would you call that? In every town we have them. Yeah, and she goes in there and she gives... I think she was given a dollar on a gospel tract and gives them a dollar in the gospel tract. Who's going to refuse a dollar? Pretty hard to refuse a dollar. And once in a while, she goes somewhere and she gives $5. And I wish I was lost. I want to get $5 from this woman, right? But so use your discretion, okay? Use your discretion. I'm not trying to say monetize the gospel, okay? I'm not trying to entice them with money, all right? But that's what she feels like she wants to do, and she's doing that. Okay? And guess what? Let me just tell you this. Because she's doing it, is she getting good reaction all the time? Absolutely not. Is she getting any reaction? Absolutely. Is she getting any reaction? Absolutely. She's engaging people. Is she getting some good reaction once in a while? Can I say the once in a while is worth it? Rather than doing nothing. Are you engaging people? Okay. I'd rather have her engagement than your engagement, right? You see what I'm trying to say? If you're not going to go out do it, you're not going to get nothing done. But at least she's doing something, all right, before we criticize the way she's doing it. I'm not saying that we are, but let's get some opportunities where we personally engage, okay? And do it at your comfort level. God isn't going to push you and pry you right away. But if He sees you trying, He might give you a little nudge. Okay? He give you a little nudge. Hey, we got a family show up Sunday night because we gave out a door hanger. Was it worth it just for that? Yes. What's the next goal? To see them get saved. That's even better. What's the next goal after that? Even see them baptized. What's even better than that? Have them become part of the church. What's even better than that? They go out with us and hang out door hangers. You understand? But we're not going to get traction if we don't do anything. Right? We're not going to get engagement if we don't do anything. Right? We're not going to sell anything if we don't have a for sale sign. We have to get our for sale signs out and say, hey, there's a God in heaven that loves me. And I'm the awkwardest person to talk to you about this, but I want to share that with you because he meant so much to me. He done so much for me. Here's a little way that I can do it better on this piece of paper. It'll explain better than I could right now. Okay? So get a habit of it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I was talking about this. Be careful in your soul winning that they're not offended at you. Your attitude, the way you carried yourself. Most of the people are not going to have a problem with your attire today because they're not worried about attires today. All right? Before, you had to be sharp and you had to dress up. But most people, even going out to the stores now, they just wear normal clothes. Okay? Just be decent. Don't have things that will automatically deter them. Okay? We're not there to do a political slogan. We're not there to be, hey, be a representative. Or a Republican, I should say. You know, don't try to humanly deter your approach. Okay? The gospel itself will be offensive enough. When you tell them there's no other way in the world where it says everybody's accepted and whatever you feel like is fine. Okay? When we go to them and say no. No. That particular belief you have is wrong, according to the scripture. That will be offensive enough. The Bible says that the gospel is a rock of offense. It should cause them to react. Okay? The gospel. Not us. It shouldn't be us offending them. If they come to you and say, well, those people are mean-spirited. It has to be because what we said to them, not how we say it. Okay? I like CAF. They're changing some of the words to different colors. You know why? Because they're trying to not be offensive. You're going to be mad at them? Get mad at them. But they're changing it. Why? Because they don't want to offend. Are they changing their gospel message? No, it's the same gospel message. You know why I know? Because I remember what the colors were. I remember what they were supposed to. And my kids are being taught they're not the same words. Guess what? I understand why they're doing that. Because there's a problem. And it just happened here in Buffalo, New York. Yesterday. Okay? It's a symptom of a problem. Right? So we're going to be offensive just to be right? Or we're going to get them to know Jesus. And he's working all things in their life. Jesus is going to make them conservative. Not me. All right? I'm going to get them saved. I'm going to get them to Jesus. I'm going to get them to the Word of God so that if they were mixed up in their gender, God will fix that in his Word. Not me. You understand? Okay? Look at this. But in all things, approving ourselves as the minister of God in much patience. What I was talking about? We need to have some patience in our approach to help people. In afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. This is what Paul went through trying to do what? Build a house? Start a company? No. What he was doing all these and suffering all these things is for what? Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was suffering all these things. Verse number 6. By pureness, by knowledge. I'm giving you some knowledge. All right? Get a habit of getting a gospel tract. That's just pure knowledge. Okay? Memorize your testimony. That's just pure knowledge I'm giving to you. Okay? By long suffering, by kindness. God talks to us about being kind when we're out there. It's not our. He's got a Biden, I support Biden. You going to deal with that? Are you really going to deal with it at that time? You really think he's going to listen to you? That person bought that thing. You know how much investment he had to believe in that? And you're going to come there with nothing? He doesn't even know you from Adam, and you're going to tell him that's wrong? He's going to look at you like, get off my lawn, dude. What in the world? Right? Let's not do that. Let's get the gospel. Let's get the gospel in there. We're not there to tell them, hey, if you're this, do this. If you're this, do this. No. That's not our job. Let's get them the gospel. By the Holy Ghost. By love unfeigned. That means the more you love, the less you be loved. Paul said that. I'm going to love you even if you're going to hate me. All right, I'm going to love you more. You're going to hate me more? I'm going to love you more. That's so unnatural for selfish people. But for Christ-filled people, that's the way to conquer them. We overcome evil by evil. We overcome it by good. We put coals of fire upon them. Because they don't understand. Have you ever seen that? Like those little emojis where I don't understand what's happening. And they have that little thing. That's kind of like what I pictured that. When they're mad at you, but you don't react. I've done that several times. They're yelling at me and I just go, hey, I hope you have a great day today. And I don't try to be sarcastic. I just be genuine and then walk away. And they just at the end, they just quiet down and walk away. Just learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, by the word of the truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Be ready everywhere. If they're going to come for you from the left, I'm ready, dude. Come from the right, I'm ready, babe. Oh, you don't say babe. Okay, don't do that. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true. They call us deceivers. They call us false prophets. They call us all bunch of stuff. Guess what? Okay. But I know Jesus. I'm going to still talk to you about Jesus. Right? It's not about me. I don't care what they think of me as long as I get them the truth. I'm going to get them the truth. Because sometimes the way they think of me is not true anyways. So I don't have time to argue about that. I'm not defending myself. I'm there to give them a message of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't argue that. You say, you know what, those are great people. We go to a church here and kindly correct them. Don't say, no, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. You're Mormons. Dude, you know the Mormons, they got uniforms. We don't have uniforms. I don't have the LD sign here. I'm not an elder. Come on. You don't have to argue every little argument. Your job is to get them the gospel. Get them the gospel. Let me say this to you. How many years have you been going to this church? Has pastor convinced you on the truth yet on some things? Because if he has, that means we're all perfect then. So may I ask a question? Are we all perfect yet? No, because we have not been convinced of the truth yet. We don't believe it yet to practice it. We believe it. We know it here to do it. But we don't believe it enough to practice it. So we're not doing it. So if we're having a hard time here that's been saturated with the Word of God, how in the world we can convince somebody in a 5 to 15 minute window of time that our voice and our ideas and our philosophy will change them? What's the practicality of that happening? None. Zero. But you know what you can give them? Jesus Christ. Give them the gospel. Let's let God worry about the rest of it later. They need to get saved. Part of them, they're not going to understand some of the things you believe because they don't know Jesus. So you're spending a lot of time that you don't need to because they're not going to understand in the first place. Because the Bible says the word of God is spiritual discern. Get the gospel. Our job is simple. Get them Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They're going to run around on topic. Get them back on topic. Jesus Christ is the salvation that you need. And if they're not going to give you the time, you feel like you're wasting your time, let the Holy Spirit lead you to say goodbye and walk away. And have somebody else to minister to. By the word of the truth, by honor and dishonor, look at verse 9. As unknown and yet well known. It's not about us. I don't care if you're the famous preacher or a not famous preacher. I don't care if you're a well-known actress or not a well-known actress. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about us because our message is simple. Our message is Jesus. We need to tell them about Jesus Christ and how he saved. As dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Put the face on. Not to be a hypocrite, but to do what? To let them know God is greater than your sorrow. Right? Go out there happy. as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Wow. Paul went through a lot to give the gospel. And I'm going to ask us here to be prepared to give the gospel out. It could be in places where it's not comfortable for you. It could be in people you're not comfortable to be around. Have I ever witnessed some people that I'm not comfortable to be around? Yeah, be around bikers and see if you'd be comfortable, a Filipino from New York down south in a biker gang. See how comfortable you'll be. It's not comfortable for me. Those are the people I just gravitate to and say, yeah, I want to talk to these guys. One of them says, I give you 10 seconds. I said, I want to give you a gospel tract, sir. 10. 9. And he's getting up. And I was in his yard at the time. He's fixing his bike. He's polishing it. And he's got all the gears on. I think he was leaving. So I told him, I said, sir, no, I'm not here to do anything. I said, I give you 10 seconds. And he counted. 10. 9. I said, well, sir, I'm sorry. I'm moving away. And I got to about here. I felt his breath. 1. And he's got his arms up. He's never going to hit me. He's just intimidating me. Can't hit me. I'll call the cops on him. Okay? And I got on the sidewalk. And I pretended everything was still fine. And guess what? Went to the next door. And left the gospel tract or knocked on the door. So, I'm not saying, I don't want that to happen to you. Okay? I really don't. But it could happen to you. Okay? But, Paul says, who cares? I'm giving the gospel out. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Because the message of the gospel is so much more than it's all about me. I don't care how they treat me. I don't care how they look at me. I don't care if I'm known to them or I'm appreciated. I just want to get them the gospel. You understand the emphasis that he's making on those verses? We're not going to finish today, but I'm not going to give you your weekly, so get away. You got scot-free out of that. But you have a monthly because it's 21 days. So get some gospel tracts and make a habit of it. If you already have a habit of having a gospel tracts, good for you. For those that don't, let's get a habit. Let's pray. Lord, bless us now as we go to our next service. Help us to emphasize your word, your gospel to the lost. Especially today when it's darkest. Help our light to be the brightest. In Jesus' name, amen.